It's off in the right direction. It can
rapidly
bring American thought to the required awareness. At present, all that is being proposed and done is good, nobody can dispute it. But it does not have the thrust and the speed of reaching up to the required horizons. And my dialogue with you helps me to reach that horizon much more easily. And that's why I really very much as if I'm progressing myself and when I am asked to answer a question, then I discuss with her, I have the same experience. She was discussing with me a very interesting problem of the aim of life. How to introduce a subject to children.
Children at a school in Lucknow.
She has 3,500 students in her school. Yes, so she is in charge of that whole school herself. She is the boss, you might say, of that whole school.
But age? Starting from age 2.5, the preschool, up to the board exams in class 12, grade 12, that's
2.5 to 18, this whole spectrum of school education is her field of explaining. So that gives me sleepless nights.
I give him sleepless nights.
Because she asks me questions which I cannot answer. And she believes that it is not possible unless I want to avoid answering. And she does not accept my modesty and my incapacity. So she thinks that I am in the opposite camp sometimes. Which I am not. I am exaggerating to some extent so as to make it more dramatic.
The problem is that he first teaches me over the last 15 years many things. All the mortal years men have been working. First he teaches me in 15 years so many things. And now when I want to distill it and give it to the children in some manner, I face opposition. So then I say, it's not fair. If I have it, I need to pass it on.
Right. In a way that will be understood.
In a way that will be understood.
That's the challenge.
So that's the challenge. And that's where we keep battling.
Which is good, no?
Yeah.
Which is good.
Because there are no easy answers.
There are no easy answers, but then things need to be done too. So how do we get between the nuances and to do things and not do them wrong? If we want to have a wrong impression on the children's mind, so we just have a
But my question to today is a continuation. Yes. How to prepare oneself for the inner world so that one can be more of a one. Because if without the proper preparation, I think that's where to pass it and I know you without the proper preparation on his motive, it may impact. Okay.
You know, I go back to your mention of promotion of this. It is one of the central problems of mankind today. There are many organizations which are aiming at it. But in your world, the most welcome sign is the leader's preparedness to reach to the bottom line of the problem. Take for example, last time we told you that you want to give today spiritual practitioners today. So let me dwell upon this plant a little. It's a very, very important proposition. Now this kind of meeting of these people can be of three types. One is coffee table style. Another is combative type. Fourth is comprehensive type.
Comprehensive.
A coffee type table, all people will come together. They all agree in the ideal of this. All spiritual people in the world. So, your time will be to give an opportunity to all of them to know each other as individuals and people representing certain points of view. Even Islamists will come and we argue that Islam stands for peace. Christians, of course, believe in peace. They might have allowed crusades to go on. But peace is their aim. Buddhists are thoroughgoing peace levels. Thoroughgoing. No compromise at all at any stage. So are Jains. Thoroughgoing peace at every stage, at any cost. In Hinduism, there are various shades. But if you bring them on the table, they will not speak of their shades. They will all agree, we are all for peace. This is what I call the coffee table conference. We all meet together. And you nod your head, and the other one nods his head, the third one nods his head.
We've been to many of these.
Yes, right?
It's a beautiful talk. I mean, nothing happens.
It doesn't progress from the progress. You only affirm and confirm that we are all nice children on the earth. Only the world doesn't listen to us, and let us make the world listen to us. Then the only question is, how shall we all come together to make people listen to us? And by the time you come to that question, the time is over.
Yes. Absolutely.
We can't have conference for a long time. By that time, coffee table is over. Time is over. So, there is a utility of this coffee table conference. It is not a discouraging, it's good to know each other and even to have some side dialogues among each other. To learn from each other, everybody gets attention. And if you make a survey afterwards, did you benefit from that? Everybody will say, yeah, benefited a lot. And we should have another conference like that again. And maybe next year again we shall meet together. This is what happens in coffee table conferences. All are in agreement and all part with great enrichment and congratulations all over. Then there is what I call combative conferences. Combative. Where you allow, right from the beginning, a thesis is, where do we differ and how to create a common program for peace? Where everyone is obliged now to open the cards and say where they differ from it as well. Now these conferences tend to go haywire. and some acrimony takes place. Arguments run like this. We have not appreciated our counter. There's no difference between you and me, but you don't appreciate my difference from me. But you understand in a different manner. Ultimately, such conferences end in frank exchange of views and the need to continue the dialogue. This is the conclusion of this conference. Now, this happens because the organizers and the participants have not raised the kind of questions that you are raising. The root questions. And that a comprehensive conference, that I call comprehensive, for just for the sake of brevity, it is based upon a great quest. This is a quest that you are engaged in, and that is why what you are doing is so precious for the world. You are trying to go into the depth of the problem, as we saw last time. The problem ultimately rests on dealing with instincts. And the manner in which you deal with instincts. In a sense, this is the problem. It through the ages has remained a question mark. And that is why whatever has been proposed doesn't work. People engage in war to prevent war.
Right, engage
in war to prevent war. This is
what happens.
Yeah. So, having reached this point, now our quest should start in a more fundamental way. We don't want either to say, hello, how are you? And we are good, I am good. Right? We don't want that kind of conference. We don't want to say that we had a fair exchange of views, frank exchange of views, and we shall continue next time. And we just meet it as soon as possible. We don't want to end in that one either. The third is to make us, before a conference comes, you make a deep study of the problem. And our conclusion is not to be, let us have a war to prevent war. Let us decide that we do not want to come to this conclusion. Let us have a war to prevent wars. Keeping this in mind, how do you make inquiry? See, right from the time when last time in Jaipur you raised the question of Shakti. You came into the real throb of the problem.
That's the holiday.
It's the way we shakti. There is a problem of shakti. And my own feeling is that shakti of today, which is represented by a lot of good women, not only by good women, but largely by good women today, they are prepared to understand this problem in this real depth. Which men don't do. Today men are too busy. They want only conference tables and combative conferences. So what is the root problem? As I tried to say last time, the root problem is how do we deal with the instincts? Is there a method by which the instinctive desire to kill? I want to put the same problem in another context. In the West today, among psychologists, Freud has played a great role. Even today, although Freud has been overpassed by Jung and Adler and many others, still, people still tend to turn to Freud. But because certain things that he has said, even though glossed over, passed over, we find, still there is something which is so fundamental that they turn to him. What is that fundamental in him? He made a statement that human beings are ruled by two fundamental instincts. Eros and Thanatos. This is his basic terms. Eros, the enjoyment. In drastic terms, sexual enjoyment. And Thanatos, desire to kill. In brutal terms, he has declared to the world that however much you try, these two instincts are themselves opposed to each other. But both of them rule man. Therefore, he came to the conclusion that civilization is doomed to remain what it is and may even be destroyed finally. Or if not destroyed, this conflict will spread. And there is no prospect in the world to overcome this terror. Human being, nature is like this, what can you do about it? You may gloss over, you may put all paddings. This is fundamental. Now this is his argument. I don't say I'm favoring it. I'm only stating his argument. So, according to Freud, you can create ego, superego, and try to moderate somewhat the explosion of these two forces, of Eros and Thanatos, desire to enjoy and desire to kill. But we can do no more. This is exactly opposite to your aim of. Now why does he put this problem? He also knew there are many other instincts, but he came to the conclusion all the instincts can be grouped into two. Before your proposition, there are many instincts, even that can be combated. So I immediately had a conference with you and I immediately agreed with you. Because you are right, I am right. You can speak of many instincts. I speak of one instinct. Freud speaks of two instincts, fundamental instincts. And there can be debate on this subject. It doesn't matter. The essential problem is that there is a force of instinct. And one of the instincts, let us not say the only instinct, one of the instincts in man is very much in favor of killing. Alright. We are moving towards comprehensive. Now what is the message of many thinkers of today who have spoken of peace in this context? Are they not aware of what Freud has said? According to me, great many thinkers of today are quite aware of what Freud has said. What is then the root of that claiming that now we want peace in the world? It is because seeing the horror of war, particularly after the Second World War, the idea of world peace has become very powerful. Seeing the bombardment of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, mankind's deepest self has been stirred. And mankind has come out saying, this ought not to be. This shall not be repeated. Can we interpret this reaction of mankind in terms of Freud et al.? If only those two instincts were really present, then this kind of reaction mankind would not have been possible. They would have said, good. The sort of like Heraclitus said, war is the father of all things. Darwin says, struggle for existence is the law of life. And struggle means war. So, in evolution, you cannot move forward without war. In spite of these messages, why is it that there is this great stress in mankind towards peace? What are we going to say at the root level? This is what requires us to think at a very deep level. And what I like very much is that you as a leader of this movement are looking into the depth. That's why it is so fruitful. You are striving to make a conference truly meaningful. Because I have seen many organizers of conference who don't go round about asking many people as to what should be the thrust of the conference, what should be the purpose of the conference, how should we put forward the conference. Because I have seen hundreds of conferences being organized and everybody is very nice.
They stay on the surface.
Yeah, it's the same semicircle.
They just stay on the surface. Yeah. They don't go into the car.
Yes, and then you spend so much money, so many people come, and ultimately everybody is congratulating the other. And the survey says it was a very fruitful conference. No conference, at least I have heard about, was ever on these matters. A very successful conference. But here is an organizer who says, I want to make it truly meaningful. I want to give an answer or propose an answer for discussion which will really meet a real problem. And that is your search.
Now, I have another question. I came to India with a certain vision. It's now turning in a different direction. In addition to what we're doing in the U.S., I have great concern for what's happening on a deeper dimension in the U.S., but I also have great concern for what's happening here in India. Great concern. And my thought was that if the yogis and Sufis came together in Paris, if the light of India could come to Pakistan, something could be sorted in here. So my thought was, how can we create some kind of healing with Pakistan? But now being here, I realize there's a bigger issue emerging, and that's China. And that a very profound spiritual outreach needs to be made to China. And so I'm thinking maybe to organize a coming together of spiritual leaders from India and China. Because I feel something very unsettling when I'm saying why. So I don't know which one has priority. Where should I focus my attention?
I think it's a very interesting, very important issue.
in what's happened with Nepal, what's happened with the malice in India, what's happening in Pakistan, a lot of it being, I mean, China's the biggest investor now in Pakistan financially. There's in a way, this, there's forces to destabilize India, actually. And I think looking ahead the next 5-10 years, how is the dynamic and shift? I mean, there's really a gathering of world tension that can only be diluted from a spiritual force, from a spiritual class. I don't think it can be dealt with at a political level. It really has to come from a spiritual class. So to awaken the spiritual energy of China is of great importance. And India has a role, because after all, Lord Buddha came from here.
You know, in this trance, the very different role as we play by intellectuals.
Scholars.
No, intellectuals, not scholars.
Intellectuals.
Intellectuals. China is fundamentally intellect. It's neither spiritual.
China is born a material by the materialist and a white man.
Yeah, but we see, I think, if you look at the depth of China.
How? Mentalist.
Intellectuals.
Intellectuals.
That is where I'm catching the point. If you really bring Buddhists of China, the Taoists of China, or Confucians of China, and Indian Buddhists, Indian Vaishnavas, Indian yogis, Sufis, put them also together, because both India and Pakistan are Sufis.
Right, yeah.
Put them all together. As a first effort, it is a good effort, as a first effort. Provided it is not the only effort. Its basic function would be that all these people share a common problem. Not for solution, but share their aspiration to be. Share a coffee table conference is necessary, indispensable. Provided that is not the final one.
Ah, so you're saying the first one has to be at that level of niceties and...
good.
Yeah.
But it has to have a thrust right from the beginning. That is how, when the conference is held, the problem has to be faced. Emphasis will be on the meeting and niceties. But already the real problem is to be shaped in that meeting.
Yes, yes. So you think we should combine it?
Pardon?
So should we combine it? We do Pakistan and China and India? Sufis, yogis, Taoists, and some Confucian Buddhists? Or is it better to keep it alone?
Let us discuss it a bit more before answering this. The greatest problem of the world, I'm making a statement for discussion. The greatest problem of the world is India. And India is looked upon as a potential prize of all the rival competitors. All rival competitors want to win India so that they become superior to the others. That is why India is so important. America must win India. China must win India. Whoever out of these two will win India will be superior in the world. Now the question for India is, does it want to be won by either?
It's not aligned.
Yeah, this is the problem. Does India want to be won by either of us? Which is a deeper problem. India does not want moderation at all.
India doesn't want
moderation at all.
Moderation.
India at present wants to win both America and China. So you see all our industrialists moving to both the countries. Some go to China, some go to America, and then they turn, some again go back to India, to America. Those who go to China go to China. Those who go to America, they go to China.
Keep both doors open.
And India wants to keep both away from each other and yet to derive benefit out of both. If India really took a decision that it wants to side with America, the problem will be much easier. If India decides it wants to go with China, problem will be much easier. The world plan will be much more clear.
Yeah.
But it's not happening.
Should India be doing that? Because it would be against India's basic nature.
To go on the other side.
To go with one party and be against the other. Because it would be seen a very... Yes. The nature of India. I mean, I might be wrong.
No, you are right. I mean, we should raise this question. That's why I said I'm only raising a point for discussion.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Now, the fact is, in India, there is a big communist party, which during the last 4 years was ruling party. It had managed to rule the whole country till last year, till this year. And during this period, it has weakened India's will to have friendship with America. The tension of the last 4 years was America or China. And the tension was so great, it is now having broken. In the meantime, they have been able to strengthen Nepal in the favor of China. This is the net result. You might say that this is journey going on, and the net result is Nepal has come up. Nepal would not have become today Maoist if Communist Party in India was not ruling the country.
I never realized that, really.
Our Communist Party is not really an Indian party. It's like as if it's
the... But it is India.
Yeah, but it's like the tentacles of China rooted in India in our Indian Communist Party.
You asked me the question, does India want this at all? I'm answering the question. It is Indian communists. Jyoti Basu, Harkishan Singh, Karat. It is these people who want Nepal to be converted into communist country.
They don't have a vision.
Can you imagine Nepal becoming communist?
I can't imagine it.
It has happened, concretely.
I know. But maybe it's not permanent.
Nothing is permanent in the world, but there is no conservation. There is nothing, no conservation on that account. There are semi-permanences, temporary permanences.
So do you think that the Hindu Dharma will weaken in the following time as a result of this? It's still very
India
scary.
Is greatly weakened during the last 4 years. This is the sum total of our last 4 years of whatever we have done.
So what needs to be done here?
Dina.
We need the denization of India.
I know this kind of thought that you're bearing. The kind of thoughts that you are having in your mind. You go around India, how many people say this is the same thought? Yes. Very few.
Very few.
Very few. Very few are concerned about the problem with which you are concerned. This is the problem that you are confronted with in your whole movement.
People are not seeing deep enough.
That's right.
It is looking at the very surface.
That's why when I say that you are looking deeply, you are not interested only in organizing conferences. That's why I see your organization so fruitful. You have leadership in your organization which wants to bring to depth. You are searching the real solution. Not superficial. I have seen so many people interpret understanding, theosophical movements, and peace movements at this time. You are not one of them. I have not had much interest in other peace conferences. But I am interested in your movement. Because of this reason, that you have got a leadership which wants to understand the problem at the depth. Your first question which I raised about instinct is one. Second question you now raise today is Sufis and Muslims on one side and Hindus coming together. A third perception is Chinese, Muslims, and Hindus coming together. Why are you thinking in these terms? Accordingly, we are aiming at redefining the solution. It's a thrust toward the solution. And therefore, I would like to explore, not that I know the answer, but I would really like to explore the problem at that level. Even the question that you're asking, what shall we do? I'm not answering the question.
I know. We're exploring.
I am only exploring so that we may come to right premises and right conclusions. Because, you know, premises are not yet sure. I personally believe America has a great role to play. Much greater than what America thinks it can be.
I think so, yeah.
America wants to win India. Whereas America ought to be friendly with India.
I want India to win America. America needs India.
No, that's true. But how does India become part of America? The formula I gave is this. At present, America wants to win India as against China trying to win India. This formula is not enough. America should win the friendship of India, not win India.
Right.
America should win the friendship of India. And India should be friendly with America. Without being partisan, because she was saying, can India be partisan?
Good.
And yet it can be more friendly. And that is the point. Can you be more friendly with one country rather than the other country?
And can be friendly, but India's policy, India's soul doesn't allow it to become partisan, but there's
no
partisan.
No, partisan. We have to make a distinction. Solutions come only when you go into subtleties.
Friendship is alright, but partisanship is not.
That is a difference, a lot of difference.
Yes, absolutely.
I can be total friend with you without being partisan.
You have to be neutral.
No,
that's not what he's saying. Not.
I can be strongly friendly with America.
And be right.
Without being partisan with America. It's a subtlety which has got to be grasped. Sri Krishna was a friend of Arjuna, but not partisan with Arjuna.
That's right. He offered himself to both sides. That's key.
It's a key.
It's key.
It's a key concept.
Yeah.
Can you ever be? Then people may think it's not possible, but it's possible. And that subtlety is required.
Yeah.
And we have to read that subtlety. The spiritual leaders and political leaders, statesmen, have to come together in this village.
Krishna, it's true, was a perfect example.
Yes, a great example. Without being a partisan, he was friendly with Arjuna. And when Arjuna wanted to be partisan with Kauravas by running away from the field, he said, you shall not. So in a sense, he might say that he even went one step further. So, that attitude, it is what I call the true attitude of universality, neither of neutrality, it's an attitude of universality. India has to recognize, America has to recognize, that these two countries, by being very, very friendly with each other, can make all the world nations trans. The universal aim can be satisfied most fruitfully if these two countries come together in this service.
We have to work on that.
Hmm?
We have to work on that.
That's why I'm telling you, because you belong to America. In this birth.
Yeah. Born in America.
Therefore, your greater possibility. You have approach to statesmen of America more easily than anybody in India can have.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a great movement of 12 good Americans who are statesmen.
Okay.
And 12 great spiritualists of America. And they have to convince these statesmen, strengthen India. Not for winning the market of India. Which in any case you'll gain. Even if you run politically, you'll gain it. Because India is so vulnerable today. And America is bound to win at present. Competition with America and China is such.
This is a very complicated problem.
It is, no?
We need a lot of spiritual help with this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that you can be a very important instrument for this, at this level. The problem is that problem of peace is not connected only with spiritual practice. It's a highly political problem.
Mm-hmm.
More than political, it is statesman problem. Fortunately, America has statesmen. India has none. I'm telling you very categorically, India has none. They have politicians and petty politicians. All statesmen who have been thrown out.
So what do we do about that?
It will come if American statesmen, they awaken India. That's a great friendship. They should tell Indian leaders, you petty politicians are quarreling among yourselves and China is in your neck. And you'll be finished. China is nearer to you than America is nearer to you. This is the function of the spiritual leaders and politicians of America. To tell India and to make them aware. China does not want universal friendship. America wants it. This is where India and America can go together very well. China wants imperialist power, a superpower, and that is all. It doesn't care for unity of mankind, doesn't care for peace in the world. It wants superpower position.
Right.
Whereas America, although politicians of America may like superpower position, but the soul of America is awakened, is awake. And there are statesmen in America who stand for universality. And that is why, that is where being not partisan, you can be extremely friendly with America. Extremely friendly. But at present, we do not know either.
You know, Shraddhavu is coming to this...
Who?
Shraddhavu.
Shraddhavu.
Yeah.
Is coming to this spiritual reflection we're doing in America. Has to be tells us I'm coming.
If you can come, you should come.
Because I see this as a model. We're looking to do a very deep reflection on the course the country is taking. But I said to Shraddhavu that perhaps the same thing should be done in India. A small think tank of great beings who can come together for a reflection. And it could be under your guidance, really, for a reflection on the course of the country. For a very deep reflection. So I said to Shraddhavu, I asked him, who would we invite to this? Because we don't want the commercial spiritualism. There's so much commercial spiritualism now. And that may have its place, it may have its will, but that's not what we're looking for. That's like the coffee table stuff. So who would come for, I've been searching in the U.S. for 4 or 5 months now to find the deep contemplatives, people of spiritual depths. And we have a wonderful response who can come together, the visionaries, the people of vision. So I'm hoping that we can duplicate that here in India, maybe next spring. And I think we'll need your help in this, to find the people. I told Shraddhavu, I'd come here and go meet with people, the same thing that I'm doing in the U.S., to find the people. So that something new can be stirred, We need to stir something new. We're going tomorrow, Shraddhavu and I, Bernardi, to release this cave, to ask for his help with us. We need the sages to come back.
Well, I say no to you. I don't say no to what you are saying. my attention or focal point is this. What is needed is a gathering of strength in the planet.
Gathering of states in the planet.
Which you can do. Basically to discuss one problem. Why should India with Canada with India? Why should America with friendly with India? In a very special way. So that themes of world peace can truly be promoted. This is the world peace to be promoted. If America cannot win India properly, the prospect of the world is very weak. And the people who is really useful will be statesmen and spiritual leaders of America who will have a dialogue with present petty politicians of India. If you can arrange this dialogue, it will be a real useful thing.
A dialogue between American statesmen and spiritual leaders.
With politicians of India. Don't bring spiritual people.
Don't bring Indian spiritual people.
They are already there. Let them do what they like.
Our teams need to come into the conversation.
Our politicians of India do not see why America should be friendly with India and vice versa.
So the problem is that the politicians there.
Our India requires a message from America, they will listen to America. They will not listen to Indian sages here.
They won't listen to Indian sages?
No, no. Indian sages will not be heard by Indian politicians. We have plenty of sages all over in India, and they have no sway upon politicians at all. Our politicians have bought all of them. They are all in their pockets. You call any interreligious conference, all of them come. And the politicians are moving about.
It doesn't mean anything.
Because in India, they have said, spiritual people say, politics is not our concern.
It's true. It's not so in America. It's not so in America. The Buddhists are very involved with politics, sometimes too much.
So that is why in India, politics, bringing spiritual together is not...
Doesn't
mean much.
Yeah.
It is American statesmen and spiritual people coming together, talking to Indian politicians, political leaders, that is likely to be more fruitful to make a little more damage.
And when we finish up our gathering in the U.S., I'll have to come talk to you and find out who of the political leaders here would be worth talking to.
That I agree. That we shall discuss, no doubt. It is a very important question.
And so who is staying in the party? I mean, who is Biden?
By then, next year's election.
India needs America very, very much. India does not know this. America needs India very, very much, but America does not know this. If she can give it a real bonding, your entire peace movement will have run on the right lines. The world peace can be attained only if India and America become friendly. This is the issue.
That's the most important objective.
Yes. is not to bring Chinese and Muslims and Sufis together.
It's a miracle in India.
If we can make India and America truly friendly with each other for the promotion of the universal friendship, not for neutrality, not for non-alignment. Non-alignment movement was a wrong movement.
Because it prevented friendship from developing.
Not only friendship among everybody.
Yeah.
I'm aligned to myself. Yeah. According to my self-interest, I'll be friendly with others. That's all. It's a hopeless proposition.
It's not even a humanitarian proposition.
It's a hopeless judgment. Not dead, it is, you know, dead corpses are more dangerous.
Yes. You say about India becoming friendly with America.
Yes.
Wasn't that one of the most important things that Sri Aurobindo believed in before, during the...
No, even now.
I mean, Sri Aurobindo said it very categorically.
Very categorically.
That India should be friendly with America. India should pull out its friendship towards America, but the politicians then just did not listen to him. This is to become a movement in USA.
You see, your movement of peace, if you really want peace, it can be narrowed down at present. Focus on this like a laser beam on this problem. India, America together for world peace. Because without it, there will be no world peace, there is no doubt about it.
Yeah,
this is the root point.
Yeah. Now you really put things in perspective.
Can you collect from America statesmen? This is a very important task. Can you collect statesmen of America who understand this in the peaceful manner, not for winning, who are truly dedicated to world peace, truly. Statesmen.
We have a few.
Good. Kindly strengthen. Even if you can organize even a conference with them, it is much more fruitful than 100 other conferences. It is statesmen of America who understand the necessity of friendship with India, who can come to India to talk to the present politicians and have a dialogue, this will have a strong and effective action.
Do you have young leaders who have promise here?
I met him only day before yesterday. Yesterday I met him, no? He is a young, huh?
Ah, he's my heart, John.
Who is that?
Narendra Modi. Gujarat Chief Minister. Is he good? Oh my God, ask him.
I've been here a long time. I actually wanted to know.
Because American media has spoken so badly over.
Well, no, I feel good. I mean, I know that they portray him badly, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. Yeah. You're right, the media portrays him very negatively, but I've heard good things about him.
My own son studying in USA can't stand Narendra Modi because of the kind of onslaught on his mind from the journalism there. And it pains me because he really argues.
Does
about
he have a potential for a set position in the national government?
Who?
Does he have a potential to rise higher?
Will you become Prime Minister of India?
You think he isn't?
I mean, if his present situation is what it is, and you look at all the politicians of India, he's a young man. Among all the other people, look around. Karunanidhi won't be Prime Minister, Jyoti Basu won't be Prime Minister.
Like L.K. Advani are struggling to be Prime Minister.
No, L.K. Advani also, how many years? I mean, if you look only from the present moment, he is certainly one of those people who can be already in the BJP, they are thinking of him as next prime minister after Advani.
So what can we do to support him?
Mere uncle even thinks his name is service for me. When I, you know, the blood starts flowing and there's joy inside my being. So much happens just thinking about him.
So what can we do to support him?
Yeah.
That's a nice question. How can we support him?
We must meet him.
Yes, uncle will arrange also.
Not me, but you can meet him and discuss with him, because he is very popular with American Indians. It's a fact.
Yes. And he completely believes in the ancient Indian tradition of what the Vedas and the Upanishads and, you know, all that is his belief. He believes in it. But not as a fanatic, as an inheritor of that.
You know, yesterday I wrote a letter to him. You read that letter. I wrote yesterday, not as much as.
Yes. Really. Have a copy here.
You have a copy here? No?
Sure.
Is it? Yeah, I will have
to. Yes, I'm
sure. Read that letter. It will give an idea how I met him yesterday. For the first time.
For the first time.
And it so happened that he invited me to meet him. I didn't ask for, because I don't have connection. But it just so happened that he said, I have heard about you, I want to meet you. And I had a long 1 hour meeting with him.
And you were impressed. You thought he was good.
I was already impressed because of my understanding of him, but after meeting him, it was confirmed that he is a potentially one of the people to whom American statesmen must understand, which is this man. Apart from many others also are there, but at least this man. There is today a good climate for this work to be done. For the last 25 years, this climate is being built. But it's not coming to a critical point. And leaders like you in America should notice that in India, people like you and me exist. They understand the value of America. They understand the importance of America. They also understand that there are many Americans like you who understand India's value. It is this which has been in place in both the countries. And although it may seem to be a small nucleus today, it can grow into a tree of a pressure. It can. It is a potential. One must concentrate on that, because that is what India and the world needs, peace.
So I see what you're saying now. Instead of focusing on spiritual matters, we need to focus on that, keep our public
affairs. Yes, yes, and bring such spiritual people who will be able to...
Who affect them. Yeah.
To deal with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not those who say, we have nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Spiritual people are not interested in dealing with instincts. And that is the problem. Instinctive people do not want to look at spirituality. In psychological terms. Your function is to make these two to meet. That is peace. People who are led by instincts today have to be guided by spiritual people. So their instincts are satisfied, fulfilled, not killed.
Transformed. Yeah. Okay, have my work.
Yes. If you can do this, I'll be very, very happy.
I think I'll need a little help.
Yeah, we are permanent friends then. All right. Read this letter which I wrote to him yesterday. You read this letter?
Yes, I wanted a copy of it also, which I asked him when you were listening. Yes, sir.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Your biggest advisor.
That's what he told me.
I've never been to Gujarat. I should go to Gujarat.
You should meet him.
I'll meet him. I'll make a point.
And give greetings on behalf of America. American soul. The Dalai Lama is a very important instrument for the world peace. One living person in the world who is extremely useful for world peace. This is extremely important. If you do not want only coffee table conference, nor competitive conference, but a comprehensive conference, then bring about a conference of statesmen of America and spiritual leaders like you, not the
officials,
not the other spiritual leaders, because they will spoil the broth.
Yeah, for sure.
But spiritual people like you, coming to India and having a dialogue with people, a few spiritual leaders, like the political leaders of India, that has a potentiality up to you.
When is your election?
In March, April.
Oh, soon. And what do you think of the outcome?
Outcome is a very delicate point. Because, no, it is true. It is very much connected to your neighbor. You must realize that Nepal has become communist. The way in which it can influence the next election, people do not know how much it can affect. Tremendously it can affect. The present calculations will all be topsy-turvy because of that fact. You see, Maoist movement is right from Nepal up to Karnataka and Maharashtra. Naxalites are all spread out.
All the way to
Yes. It's a big belt.
Almost dividing India. Almost like a divide.
Yeah, a divide. It's a kind of a corridor produced by them. This is one force which has been created. Bengal is communist. Tripura is communist. Kerala is communist. Oh yes, Kerala is communist. And China is helping communists. You might say that China has ruled India for the last 4 years.
That's it.
Good American statesmen can help India. They can tell Indian leaders, be friendly with America, we don't want lordship over India, we want friendship and friendship. And we have to work together so that world peace can be established. It's a partnership for world peace.
I don't think ultimately India can come under Mao's control.
Why not? Why not? It is on the cards today. Already 4 years have ruled India. Petty politicians, why are these all petty politicians? Petty politicians are those who do not see beyond their nose. And India today is full of petty politicians. I have dealt with the politicians for the last 30 years. I have not come across one good statesman in my life for 30 years. I have met all petty politicians. they do not see the world at large. This is the difficulty. There's so non-alignment, which is party politics.
What about the previous president? Was he still there?
He was not a politician at all.
He's an academic.
So he's a scholar.
Scholar, yeah.
And a good, very nice man. He's one of the good factors of India.
Yes.
But that is all. He has no control over politics.
No control.
Anyway, the governance of India does not give any power in the hand of the president.
Why India chose Pratibha Patil against this man who was available on the spot? Petty politics.
She's not so well regarded.
I mean, where is the comparison?
It's very comparing, not even oranges and apples.
No, can an elephant be compared with a dog? It is that much comparison, and yet it is, why is it that he was available? He was already a president, a Muslim, therefore there was no question of communality at all. And such a brilliant man, such a man of great wisdom and sanity, he was available on the spot. He had only to be told, you continue, the matter would have been fine.
But it was just
what was petty politics? Even BJP said he wants Shekhawat, another petty politician, to come into power as president. Why? All petty politicians are ruling this country.
Yeah,
so, our country has a big problem of petty politicians. It's a good statement, I don't mind if I differ. Like, there can be, like Nehru was to a great extent a statesman. Raj Gopalachari was a statesman. Rajan Prasad was a statesman.
Radhakrishnan?
Not at all. But at least these 3-4 people were statesmen in India. They're all gone. India is now like 18th century small petty officials fighting against each other. Tipu Sultan against Peshwa, Peshwa against Nawab, Nawab against Mughals, and Mughals against Hindus. We have to have a force which will be like this force, your peace force.
A peace force. What? Saturday.
Which is connected with Indian Bush statesman. Neither this, nor that, nor that. Because that level there are all kinds of arguments and counter-arguments. So, we have to work on that level. If you can increase the number of statesmen who are prepared to be Indian friends.
Yeah.
That is one basic task to be done. It will increase the world peace problem and solution of the problem of peace. Can be enhanced if you can gather among American statesmen a great understanding of India and the need of India. And similarly, if they can help Indian politicians to understand how India can be friendly with America for the sake of world peace.
So we'll start to find those.
This is the message, actually, not for partisanship. When we become friendly with America, it is not friendship against others. If you can put your effort into organizing this kind of meet, even not a big conference.
Small and focused.
This kind of a meeting.
The right people.
Even 25 statesmen of America and 25 good politicians of India. And 25 spiritual leaders of India and America. If this can come together, and only on this, India-America friendship for world peace. That would be extremely useful. more useful than Muslims and Chinese coming together. We don't want coffee table.
Yeah, we don't need a coffee table. Somebody else can do it.
They can do it.
Yeah.
You need to be more focused.
More focused.
I think you agree with this? Yes? You are a potential leader of the world, so you must take into account all this that is happening. All right?
So first we have to get our house in order in the U.S.
Yes, good statesman.
And find a statesman.
Yeah.
So we have to wait until the new...
And you need Narendra Modi to prepare for this conference already. You tell him you want to do it in Ahmedabad, in your capital.
We'll do it in Gujarat.
In Gujarat, in your conference. And we shall bring American statesmen here in Gujarat. And you will host a meeting of politicians beyond all political parties. And he will do it.
That's very good. Yes. That's a way to support him. Actually.
Yes, you can support him in this way.
Hosting our meetings.
If you talk to him, you can talk to him only these three propositions. That according to you, India and America need to come together in the most friendly conditions. Secondly, this friendship should have only one specific aim, world peace. And thirdly, to realize that this world peace cannot come if India and America do not become tight friends. For this task, politicians in India should collaborate, irrespective of party affiliations. Right? If this can be done, even on a small scale, 50 people, it will be a good thrust, action, action concept.